Welcome to New Trends Racing, Just for New podcast, where I'm going to be looking back at May, looking forward to June, looking at the service overall, and also giving a bit of insight into some of the changes I'm going to be making with selections going forward. And then I'm also going to give a little bit of insight leading towards the Derby and Royal Ascot. So starting with results for May, where we had 103 runners, finished with 31 winners with a 30% strike rate. Overall, finishing the month 54.7 points in profit with a return on investment 24.3%. And at Betfair SP, it was 38.7 points in profit with a 17.2% return on investment. Looking at the service overall, so overall we've had 1,417 runners, 422 winners with a 29.7% overall strike rate. And overall the service is 344.95 points in profit with an 11.3% return on investment. And at Betfair SP, it's 191.52 points in profit with a 6.2% return on investment. In 2025 alone, we've had 377 runners, 97 winners with a 25.7% strike rate. And we are 38.6 points in profit with a 5.5% return on investment. And at Betfair SP, we are minus 20.64 points with a minus 2.9% return on investment, which I would say is fair to say the results in 2025 are impacted mainly by the first 4 months of the year, where I just think there was a lot going wrong in the service at that time. And I'm happy that we had a good month in May, mainly because the service needed it really. And it's just really trying to get the service back to where it was before we made changes in January, which I think, looking back at last month, I think the service result-wise started to, if you look at the figures overall, the 29.7% strike rate of winners to the 30% strike rate last month really tells the picture, I think. And I think last month we sort of had the right amount of winners. And I think first 4 months of this year were just disappointing. Going forward towards June, I'm looking for another month similar to May, slightly better. The way I've been breaking down results and looking for something really that's going to be more effective for the service, in every aspect, really, results, winners, profits. Minimising risk is an important thing, and also growth of the service, which has really been one of the biggest negatives for this service, really. But it's getting there. So where I'm going to be going with the service in June is going forward now, is I just feel that too many selections on a day, chucking points around everywhere and having days where we are minus 10 points here, minus 8 points there, plus 20, plus 23, plus 9. I just think the fluctuation between those results, everything, if you put it on like a scatter graph, it's like up and down and it's all over the place, where I just think that line, I would like to sort of get it as even as possible, which sort of having results averaging out each day. And I don't think you can do that with too many selections. And these are things that I've looked at since the start of the service, really, And you know, it's something that I've been working on for many months and sort of trying to find the best way to deliver selections, deliver winners to the service, but ultimately minimize risk for members, but also delivering profitable months. And in my opinion, I believe to be a profitable tipster, the most important thing is the staking system and the way you stake. You put stake on a horse with regards to using points. So it's quite simple to say, you know, we put 3 points on this horse, 2 points on this horse, 1 point on this horse, 1 point each way, and all the rest of it. And going back through, if you go through results and you go through the way I was staking each bet and each individual, I tried to keep it as consistent as possible, and sort of using it to like with regards to prices would be how I would stake a horse. And I think that's a bit of I think that's mainly sort of where a lot of the problems lie. And going forward, I just think every horse is different, every bet is different, and therefore I think every stake should be different, and I think staking should be the stake should be to maximize profits but minimize risks. And going forward, the way I want to set the system, the service up, is to sort of try and average 2 points profit each day. So that is my ultimate goal and my aim, my target for the service going forward is to average 2 points profit each month. And to do that, I'm gonna have one bet each day, one selection. This is what's going to go out in the service each day. This is what it's going to be for paid members. It's going to be one selection each day, and I think this is the strongest way, is because if we was to have two, three, four, five selections in a day, I just don't think it's needed. I think the only thing we need is the strongest bet on in each day, the bet with the strongest chance of winning, the one with the highest probability of winning, the one that you think is going to win the most, the strongest bet is where the stakes should be. That's if you're splitting your stakes over three, four, five horses, ultimately, really, you want as much of that stake towards the horse with the highest chance of winning. And I just think going forward, I would like in the service, I would like to just put out one bet each day, which will be my strongest bet of the day. That will be the bet that goes out to paid members. And the way I'm going to stake each bet each day is to return ultimately 2 points profit for the day. If the horse, if the bet wins, then we achieve that 2 points. If the horse loses, then effectively we can sort of adjust stakes going through the month to average out 2 points profit each day. So we can sort of adjust our stakes to each bet individually and just go one bet at a time. And effectively go through the month averaging out 2 points profit each day. If we were to be successful doing that, in an average of 30 days in a month, you're looking at around the 60 points in a profit in a month, which in my opinion is a good month. If we was to achieve that across the 12 months of the year, you're looking at over 700 points profit. Whether that's achievable, we'll never know until we give it a try. It's something that really excites me, and I've I'm confident in it that it can work. Even if we was to fall short by half, and we was ending up to average 1 point profit each day, we would still be over the 300 point mark. And I just think going forward, this is the method that this is the way that I believe that the strike rate for winners will go higher. Return on investment will go higher. I think all these figures will just go up. Effectively, you need to be finding as many winners as possible. And I think that's it's achievable. We're still in the category that there are going to be losers along the way, because that's just the game in general. We're going to bump into losers. But if we use our bank effectively and adjust our stakes accordingly, we can. It's all about it turns into a mathematical game, and it's a way of minimizing risk and maximizing profit. And that is what being a tipster is about. That's what being a gambler is about. And all effectively, if we're making small profit each day, we are sort of chipping away, and that's effectively where the patience and the discipline comes in. With regards to value, this is a word that is very debatable, and I think every single gambler on planet Earth has got a different description to what value means. You could ask any tips to any gambler, what does value mean? And every single one of them will give you a different answer. I don't think there is an answer. I think everybody's got a different opinion of what value is. But for me, I believe value is getting a price that is bigger than the SP. So if we back a horse at 2 to 1 and it gets smashed off the boards into, say, 11 to 8 even money, and it goes off at even money, 11 to 8 wins, and we got on at 2 to 1, I believe that's value. I believe that's the biggest definition of value. There are a percentage of people out there that I hear throwing this word around like it's a way that value means backing horses at big prices, which I think is absolute rubbish. In my opinion, I think it's a lazy way for especially a tipster to use that word value, by going out backing horses at big silly prices. And effectively, when you're backing horses at bigger prices, all you're doing is you've got your horse's percentage chance of winning. The bigger the price you go, the lower the percentage is. And I think there are people out there that want to use this word. So I back horses at value prices, et cetera, is people that want to back horses at big prices because they're just lazy and they don't want to put the groundwork in, and they don't effectively want to find winners. They just want to say use value and big prices as an excuse to why they've ticked up 3 losers in a day. For me, there's only one thing that is going to give us profit at the end of this year. Those points tally up by winners, not what prices these horses are. The prices of horses effectively aren't going to put points on our profit board. Effectively, the only thing that's going to do that is winners. So when I look at the word value, value to me is getting my members on at a price which is bigger than the starting price. That is value to me, regardless of the price. Most of my selections will never be any smaller than 6 to 4, after 6-4, that's sort of it's starting to get into sort of dangerously short territory for me. I have no issues in backing horses at 2-1. I have no issues 5-2, 7-2, 11-4. Them are the ideal prices I like to play at, because I know that playing at them prices, the percentage that going back to the percentage chance of winning, I know that percentage is going to be in the right place. It's going to be over 50%. It's going to be a good percentage chance of winning, which is ideally what I'm looking for. So if I'm having one horse a day, one bet a day, one selection in a day, that percentage chance of winning, I want it to be as high as I possibly can get it. For instance, using as a perc this was not premeditated or planned in any way, but I'm going to use this as an example. So today's bet that's gone out is Archivist in the 417 at Leicester. So yesterday, when that bet was advised, it was advised at 13-8. My latest check on the market is that Archivist has gone odds on now. So effectively now, I feel that I've got value for the members today. With that horse is Archivist. We've got the value bet because we're on at 13-8. So that is value, and now it's odds on. The percentage chance of winning has rose higher. You look at that horse now and you think his chances of winning are high. So when I'm putting out a bet each day, this is what I'm looking for, is I'm looking for a bet, one bet that has got a high percentage chance of winning. We've got the value for the members, and at a stake that is going to give us is going to average us our 2 points profit in the day. So if we tick those boxes, then effectively that's our day done. If the horse wins, that's the final tick in the box. If the horse loses, then we move to the next bet, and then we go again, tick the boxes again, and we'll adjust the stake as accordingly as we need to keep averaging that 2 point profit mark each day. I hope that makes sense. I know it's probably a lot to take in, but there is method to this madness, and I'm hoping that you're sort of understanding what I'm getting at, because it makes sense to me. It makes perfect sense to me, because value probability is really I think it's the key to success. Every bet you have, it has a percentage chance of winning, and you need to be rewarded. And I think if we've got a betting bank sitting there, we've got profits sitting there, then effectively, we should be using that to our advantage and minimizing our risk and maximizing these profits. So with only one selection each day, it's going to take away having to place four or five bets in a day, stake, I really, it's not really something that sits well with me when I know that members, if they're following my selections, they're putting down 10, 11, 12 points some days when we're having busy days. And, if that day turns out to be a bad day, that's 10, 11, 12 points down the drain. And that doesn't sit well with me, where on a daily basis now going forward, it's not going to matter. But it's going to be a more effective way for members to follow what I'm doing by only staking a small stake on one selection each day. And we are effectively building our profits up to the end of the month. And we're sort of playing the slow game. And we're minimizing the risk and we're maximizing the profit. And I hope that makes perfect sense to you. It does to me, and I hope it will. Hope somewhere down the line, it will start getting a little bit more clearer. When we're a few months into this, I'm hoping that it will start painting the picture itself. And if we see the results that I'm predicting us seeing, then it will just continue to go on like that forward. And hopefully by the end of the year, we'll be sitting on some nice profit, and the service will just run smoothly and easy. This is something that I've been messing about with a lot over the last 6 7 months. I'd say since September last year, I've been messing around with the way I stake, how many selections, and I've been trying different things, and I think this is the perfect solution. I think it's just one bet, one strong bet, and we just use our stake and put out it. I think it is. It's all about putting your money in the right places. That's how I think you become successful in gambling. And that's how I'm going to be moving forward each day now. With regards to tracker horses that I was putting out, I'm still going to post those, but I'm not going to advise them as bets. They're going to be there for for anybody's interest. If anybody likes following tracker horses, they'll be there for you. Me personally, I'm going to move forward with just one bet each day now. And the way I'm going to be doing it is the one selection. But I'm still going to post the tracker horses for anybody's leisure, anybody's interest. If anybody wants those tracker horses, they're there for you. You're paying for the service, and I believe tracker horses are a part of the service, and they're there for you if you want them. With regards to growing the service, so going forward now, I think that each day going through my selections, there are always two or three that maybe stand out. Sometimes there's more, sometimes there's less, but I'd say on average there's around two or three selections a day that stand out to me with having good chances. I'm going to open a Telegram channel, which is going to be New Trends Racing. So it's going to be part of the service. In there, I'm going to be posting one free tip daily, and that these tips are going to be free to everybody to access. There's going to be one bet posted each day in that free Telegram channel. And firstly, going back to the tracker horses, so with the tracker horses, they're not going to be advised bets to anybody. So obviously they will not be going against profit and loss. The only thing that's going to be going against profit and loss for paid members is the one selection, my strongest bet of the day, and that is going to be the strongest bet, the premium tip of the day. And that's what being a premium member of my service effectively is what you're paying for. The tracker horses are just to give an extra, and they're not going to be going against profit and loss anymore. But going back to the free Telegram channel, so I'm going to be posting one free tip a day in that Telegram channel. And again, all my members here, you're completely welcome to join the Telegram channel. And if you want that free daily tip, it's there for you. With regards to the free daily tips, there is going to be no profit and loss. And I just feel that free daily tips, I don't see any reason why I should have to waste any of my personal time calculating results for daily tips, especially when they're free, because I just don't feel it's needed, it's not necessary. In those free daily tips, there's going to be winners, there's going to be losers. They'll be good, don't get me wrong, they'll be good. They're going to be the in there will be the effectively the premium bet for premium members. The members that are paying for the service are going to get the nap each day. And then the next best is going to be a free daily tip to the Telegram channel. So the next best will be in that Telegram channel each day, which is going to be free to everybody. But there is going to be no profit and loss, because when you're giving stuff out for free, I don't think I have to justify results, and it's not really necessary for me to be doing a profit and loss, and I most certainly won't be putting them as a profit and loss towards a paid service for premium members. In this free daily Telegram channel, it's also going to be a way for me to advertise. So this free Telegram channel, hopefully people will get on board. I don't see why people wouldn't want to get on board. You know, it's free, and there's going to be some good tips going up in there. Hopefully it'll grow, and it'll grow and grow and grow, and there'll be lots of people in there eventually. That's the whole idea, really, and it's sort of a way for me to advertise the premium side of the service to people, and they can sort of see what new trends is about, and eventually, you know, potentially maybe some of those free people might join the other side of the service. But that's irrelevant. If they do, they do. If they don't, they don't. It's not really an importance to me. The important thing is that one selection each day. That is the important side of the service, is the nap. That nap is the only thing in this service, really, that is my main focus. My main priority is to get that nap out each day, and hopefully it's a winning one for the. Sorry about that. Yeah, so I think I've rambled on enough there of with regards to which way the service, but as I say, going forward now, day by day, it will start to make sense. You'll start seeing how it's working, and it will all start making sense down the line. There's no point in me keep rambling on over it, and sort of it's better for you to see it with your eyes, and then it will start to make sense. Moving on to Epsom and the Derby. I have no real strong opinions with regards to the Derby at the moment. I do like Pride of Arras, the Ralph Beckett horse. I do think that's the race it won before the Dante, that was I think that horse is potentially a good improver. I think that horse could improve bundles for its next run, and that's one that I do like. On form, figures, and everything that it's done to date, ruling court is obviously the big danger. He's the one that comes in here with all the boxes ticked, really, and the one that you think should just go and win. The favourite, Delacroix. I don't see how that is favourite over Ruling Court. I'd have Ruling Court as favourite. I don't think Delacroix beat what. If you go back to the 2000 guineas with the field of gold form with Ruling Court, yes, Ruling Court got the run of the race. Possibly Field of Gold should have won that day, but he didn't. Field of Gold has obviously gone and backed it up in the Irish 2000 guineas, and I think Ruling Court is a worthy favourite in the race, should we say. The Lion of Winter is you'd be I think you'd be taking a big risk with him. He's last season he looked like he had all the potential in the world, and looked as if he would take all the beating this season in wherever he turned up. Backing horses after races like that the last day. I know you're compensated with the price, but I just don't think, unless Ryan Moore was riding him, he wouldn't be for me. But all in all essence, really, I think it's it's going to pay to wait to see the final field, wait to see the draw, and sort of go from there. I think there's going to be value in the market on the day of the race, and it's a waiting game really, and we're sort of come down on that on the day, but in all essence, it's not a whether I put up a bet in the Derby or not. I don't think it's really important, to be fair. I'll just keep going back to it, but the most important thing is that one bet each day, that nap, and if that nap happens to be in the Derby, so be it. If it doesn't, who cares? I do like the Oaks, the Epsom Oaks. Desert Flower looks an absolute world beater. Lake Victoria has franked the form, and I really like that performance from Lake Victoria. The last day, she was good. Like the way she sat in, dropped in behind the leaders, and the way she quickened up was, and Desert Flower you'd think for all the world, Desert Flower is going to take some stopping. She has got that big question mark whether she's going to stay the trip. Breeding says no, but potential says yes. At 6-4, would you really want to take 6-4 to find out? Probably not. Are there other bets in the race? Possibly. What beats her? You have the minute that you got the three Aidan O'Brien horses, Mini Hawk, Giselle, and Will. I think Will looked. She was impressive the last day. Again, no real opinion really, and I wouldn't be forming an opinion until closer to the day, till we see any positives or negatives with regards to draw, ground, and all the rest of it on the day. But yeah, I do like Desert Flower, but 6-4 and over that trip, probably not really for me. But I'd still like to see her go and do it, because I think she looked really good the last day. And then on to Royal Ascot. So I really put my heart and soul into Royal Ascot last year, and we just come up short in the end. Ascot, Royal Ascot is a massive challenge for any tipster, any gambler. It always tends to be a week for the bookies, in all fairness. But I'm going to be attacking it differently this year. I think it's about quantity. It's a quality over quantity, and I think the way to play is to chase winners, not prices. I think it's going to pay to wait, and I just think that the closer you wait until the race will be the benefit. You get a lot of late market moves at Royal Ascot, and a fair few of them are always telling, and sometimes it pays to follow the gambles in certain races, especially handicaps. But yeah, I think unless you're on a big double figure prices on anything really, at this point you're better off just waiting till the day. I think you're going to get prices. You're going to get nice enough prices to play on the day. And I don't see any reason to talk about it now. I think we just save it to the week, till we get nearer, till we know what's running, and we sort of just play each race as it comes. And I think the way I'm going to attack Royal Ascot for the service this year is I'm going to give one bet each day for Royal Ascot, and the strongest bet will go out to the paid members, and then the next best will go out to the free Telegram channel. So effectively it's going to be two bets each day at Royal Ascot, and Hopefully we can put it right this year and come out with a few winners and hope it's a successful week for the service. But all in all, I just think the service this service is going to go from strength to strength right up until the end of the year, going forward into the next year. And yeah, it's just about the two main things that I've really highlighted quite a lot in this podcast, and it's all about minimizing the risk and maximizing the profit. And that's the way I'm taking this service forward. And come end of the year, going into next year, I think this service will come out on top again, because I've said it many times before. Nobody does it better.
They're approach the final furlong. Tati Bogle, Mitch Mullen on the near side, Prince of India and Marco Gianni now beginning to serve it up to him, the favourite. Tati Bogle though not going down easily. This is going to be tight. Tati Bogle and Prince of India. Oh, he's got there. Prince of India. Cozily.
The final furlong and Raining Prophet now challenging Birkenhead for the lead. It is Raining Prophet, the far side of Birkenhead, the two last time out winners. One of them's going to win again. It might well be Raining Prophet. Raining Prophet moves away by a length and a half. Raining Prophet goes on to win this race again, won it 2 years ago, and lands it once more, beating Birkenhead High Opinion and across to the far side between the sticks.
Pleasureland Rosario challenging and edging ahead. Navy Waters challenging on the outside, and this trio moving ahead. But Alana Azario, Colin Keane in the lead by a couple of lengths. Staying on in second, Navy Waters, as they go to the line. Alana Azario on the far side holds on.
Next is World of Darcy, followed by Danger Alert, and now they've only got a furlong and a half to go, and Abbey Heights trying to dig in. Lunging towards the near side is Zero Carbon. Over on the far side, Expert Agent still with every chance. The Quinto begins to stay on from a long way back, but it is still Abbey Heights who has got the lead. And at 100 yards to go, Abbey Heights and Jim Crowley out in front. Abbey Heights wins. Tight second, close between Zero Carbon and Expert Agent.